Okay, we're going to start reading Ezekiel 43, and I'm going to end up in Ezekiel 48. That's only seven chapters, so pay attention. We're going to skip some of that. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, six. Six chapters. It seemed like seven, because there's some really boring stuff in here. There really is. Okay, chapter 43, verse 1. Then he led me to the gate facing the east, to behold, the glory of the Lord, of the God of Israel, was coming from the way of the east, and his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. And it was like the appearance of the vision I saw, like the vision that I saw when he came to destroy the city, and the visions were like the vision that I saw at the river Kabar. And I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came to the house by the way of the gate facing toward the east. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Then I heard one speaking to me from the house while the man was standing beside me. He said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell among the sons of Israel forever. I'm going to skip to the very last verse of the book of Ezekiel. Because in between it tells of, that is Jerusalem when Jesus comes back to reign on the earth. And then gives great detail for six chapters on the land, on the people, on the division, on, and of the city. Okay? Then chapter 48:35 says, the city shall be 18,000 cubits around about, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. Yahweh Shammah. The Lord is there, or the Lord is here, or the Lord is, what I'm going to choose to use this morning, my abiding presence. Because from that day on, God's people and God are going to be one. Physically, I mean, we're one now, but He's there forever. And that's what he actually wants with us now. See if I still got a green light. I got green. Okay, we're good. Good to go. See, he wants more than just this area of religion. We're looking at the different names of God, who he is. This is who he is. The Lord wants to be our abiding presence. With us all the time. He lives in us. We are in him. I mean, we know this stuff. If we've hung around church at all, we know this stuff from a theological point of view. That'll just get you confused. Trust me. I have 3 degrees in theology. Okay? You want to get confused, study theology. That will do it. Okay, what he wants is not that theology. Study about God. That's what that word means. Study about God. And you want to get confused, study about God. Yes. If you want to be unconfused, get to know God. That's the difference. Get to know God. See, he doesn't want us just to know about him. He wants us to know him. He doesn't want us just to have a religion where every now and then, especially when we're in trouble, we cry out to the Lord, you know, and it's like rub the magic lamp. You get 3 wishes, and your first wish is unlimited wishes. That'd be my first wish. Now, he wants more than that. He wants this intimate relationship with us for all of eternity, and it begins not when we get to heaven, it begins now. It begins now. That's what he wants with us. Him always abiding with us. Never leaves us, never forsakes us. We read in our first reading, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. David wrote and said that his thoughts toward us, if we knew his thoughts toward us, they could not be numbered, they would outnumber the sand of the sea. I don't know how much sand there is around the sea, but around Lake Michigan, there's a lot of sand. Some golf courses I've played, there's a lot of sand. Visited most of it. Yeah. Sam. That's a lot. He thinks about us that much. He wants to be intimately involved with
is us. And if we could realize, as we've looked at these different names of God, this is the last one. We're going to look at a couple more things before Rally Sunday, but not the names of God, but some of his nature. If we could get to know God, it would change our lives. Even as Christians, it would change our lives. It would change our lives. This is not what he does. This is who he is. And since we have this relationship with him, this is what he is for us. See, have you ever felt times when God's not hearing your prayers? Ever felt those times? I'm praying, nothing's happening. Or worse, I'm praying and the opposite thing is happening. You ever have those days? I've threatened to quit praying. I have. I said, that's it. I am done praying because everything I pray for, it just goes worse. Well, this is bad enough, so let's just call this even. Yeah. See, days when you think, geez, where is God? He must be over in India or in Pakistan working with people with the flood, maybe. Because he obviously ain't at my house. Where is he? No, when we realize that this is who God is, he is with us all, whether we feel, and we live in this feeling society. Amazing. I ask groups of people, name me five emotions. I haven't done this with you yet, but I could. Name me five. I'll bet you can't get all five. And there's more than five. I bet you can't get five. This is amazing. I've asked larger groups of people this. Name me five emotions. Let's see. Anger. No, that's about it. That's about it. That's the only ones I know. Okay. Frustration. Yeah. Frustration is not an emotion. Frustration is the word that you use for all those emotions you can't name, which really frustrates me as a counselor. Anyway, no. But we live in this touchy, feely, if we feel like it type society, then it's supposed to be okay to do it. Well, that's the way I'm feeling. So I'm feeling ornery and nasty. I'm supposed to be able to tell you in an ornery and nasty way that that's the way I'm feeling. Whereas the odds are if I'm feeling ornery and nasty, I don't have to actually tell you anyway because my behavior will show. But feelings are just feelings. That's all they are. They are just feelings. They're not good. They're not bad. They're just feelings. You have no control over them. You feel. You feel. And the Bible says almost zero about feelings. Almost zero. But you know what it does talk a lot about? Behavior. It talks a lot about behavior. Oh yeah, but if I feel, I ain't supposed to behave. No, you're supposed to behave. How can I do that? You can't do that by yourself, but God in you can do that. And if we realize that he never leaves us, he never forsakes us, he's always there, we take him places he don't want to go, because we go there. Amen. See, he's with us. He doesn't leave us. Like when I got my last speeding ticket, 1974 is my last speeding ticket. Yeah, it's been a while. Okay? Was a pastor at the time, my first church. Went back to my church, mentioned somehow, because you know me, I just open my mouth and stuff comes out. Mentioned I got my first speeding ticket. They thought, you know, the Lord gets out of the car when you go over 55. That was when it's 55 back on the expressway. Yeah, honey. When I go over 55, the Lord's in the car, he goes to work. I'm convinced he rotates the guardian angels just because I wear them out one after another. Okay, so he's got to rotate them, just keep them fresh. We can just keep Rick live long enough, he'll finally die and go to heaven. Yes! It's a full-time job. Ask Mark. Okay. It is. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. I don't try to be a problem child. I'm just a problem child. I've always been there. No, God is always with us. You know what abide means? Abide means to be with us forever. It don't mean our vacation cottage up at the lake. But no vacation cottage up in the lake. It wasn't even mine. Because I don't have a vacation cottage at the lake. But been there twice this summer. Loved it. See? Yeah. I would go visit yours if you invite me. I would. I mean, you know, Not to be bold or anything, but yeah, I like water toys. It has to come with water toys. I can't afford my own. So your cabin, your water toys, I will go. How's that? Now, is that a good deal or what? That's a good deal for me. But that's not abiding. Abiding is where we're at all the time. All the time. Abiding. And he abides in us. One of the better pictures that he uses is in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, he says, the kingdom of heaven is a lot like a vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. You ever seen a vine? So you got base, you got the branches. It's the vine, that's the vine. It's all one. Got to have the roots, got to have the whatever that's called, got to have the branches to be a living vine, to produce fruit. That's what we are with God. It's not God and us, and we're all one. He abides with us. We are in him whether we recognize it or not, whether we feel him or not. Once we have a right standing with God through Jesus Christ, this is the way it is. He's with us. He's with us. Just like the branch, you cut that branch off the vine. Well, you have a branch. It's dead the minute you cut it off, but you have a branch. But it's no longer part of the vine. You wouldn't look at the branch and say, well, that's a vine. It's dead. It's a dead branch. Abiding forever. Forever. He lives in us. We have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. See? Now, if we can get that, then it's like, oh, that means when I'm on the golf course, he's there. Oh, I apologize for a couple things I did this week. Bad week on the golf course. Bad week on the golf course. So we're going to try it again next week, because my wife's philosophy about anything is, if you're not good at it, see, I mean, we get married, so she tries to train her husband, you know, like all good wives do. So she's going to show me how to do, you know, like laundry, okay? This is no problem. I've got out of harder jobs than this. All I got to do is be bad, right? Right? No, she wore pink underwear for a while, but her philosophy was, true story, that is true, husband did the laundry. She had pink underwear for a long time. Because back then, we were so poor, we couldn't go buy new white underwear anyway. See? But it was pink. She wore it. And the husband had to go back down to the basement time and time again, because practice makes perfect. See? Yeah. Same with dishes. See? Wash the dishes. So it was great. They had five kids. I didn't have to wash dishes much for a lot of years. But then Jamie finally went to college. And nobody came over to wash my dishes anymore. I couldn't believe it. And Barb actually expected me to do dishes sometimes because I made some of them dirty. And she thought that was fair. I mean, fair. So you do the dishes, you do the counter, you wash the stove, and you make the coffee. That's called doing the dishes in my house. Just in case you ever want to come over and do the dishes, that's what you do. You do the dishes, counter, stove, make the coffee. In case you want to know that. No volunteers at all. None. Not a one. Not a one saying, oh, I would like to come over to your house and do that tomorrow. Okay. So, don't get it right the first time. What happens? Practice, practice. That's her philosophy. Practice, practice, practice. You got to do it more often. You don't get out of it. You do it more. See, if we realize that that's kind of the way God is with us, he's there with us. If we don't get it, he just sticks around. He don't go anywhere. He just sticks around. If you were bad on the golf course, you know, then you get next week to practice. Got a couple more weeks to practice before snows. Well, a few more weeks before snows. So practice, practice, practice. With our Christian walk, the same thing. Had a bad day? Practice. You get to practice again tomorrow. Why? Because God hasn't deserted us. He hasn't left us. It only seems like he's not answering our prayers. He actually is. He's actually working behind the scenes to do whatever. May not be answering it our way, but he's doing whatever to bring these things to pass. If we can relax and trust him, life's going to get a lot easier. Not even that circumstances change. It's just easier when we're trusting God. I don't have to worry, Fred, about this. I don't have to conjure God up. I don't have to do something magical so I can feel God. He's here. He's with me. He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. He's here on my good days. He's here on my bad days. That actually helps us to have more good days. And it sure helps us. You know, you go out east. The pilgrims out east. Remember the pilgrims? Remember them? You look at some of the cemeteries out there, and the cemeteries have skull and crossbones on them. You know why? Because those mildly Calvinistic believers didn't know whether they're going to heaven or not. I think, my goodness, every one of them lived a better Christian life than I did. I mean, you read about them, these people were dedicated to God. They served God every day, dedicated to God. When things went a little bit bad, our congregational meetings that we have, do you know why we started having those as congregationalists? It wasn't so we could vote on stuff. It was because things weren't going 100% correctly, and we all got together and we prayed until we got a word of the Lord about what to do. That's where those came from. Had nothing to do with voting about anything. We got together and prayed. And I think, and they didn't know? When they died? Sad. Because if you know what God said is true, then you know. I haven't been good enough. I haven't been good enough. Not going to be good enough. Can't be good enough. But it doesn't depend on me. It depends on Jesus. He is good. His sacrifice was good. So, he paid the price. I get the blessing. That's a good deal for me. Good deal for me. And he doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He is always, always with us. Always. Even to the ends of the earth. That's good news. See, you just rest in that. God is good. What he said is true. It's true.